Thank you for those that greeted me on my birthday. Before that morning, on my birthday, I posted it on Facebook. You can greet me now if you want. And all of my friends, almost all of my friends greeted. Now I realize I have a problem. Liking all their, because there I have about 300 friends. Imagine that on Facebook. Even the names that I've forgotten greeted me. Yeah, thanks to the Lord. At least they remember me in a good way. I just want to say something about not my message first. This church has been 66 years. And we may not know the names of those who started it. It started in a house church until they decided to put up a building. But without those people who had sacrificed, that house was owned by somebody else. He sold his house. He gave all the proceeds here. I'm not telling you that you do that, okay? But I'm just saying, if without those people who shared little by little their resources and they stayed being faithful in this church, this building will not be here. Why do Filipinos go abroad and leave their families? There's only one reason, for them to give a better life to their children. And second, hopefully they can build a home, a house, especially those who doesn't have homes. That's their goal, and they stay there. It's all for their children, and actually for a better life for the children. We are doing that not for ourselves. We don't need that. Me? Maybe I'll just be 30 years. I'm 71 now, so I'll be 101. Friend is 99. Go, just 2 months and she's 100. Yeah. So maybe I can get to 101. But I want to see that building, not for myself, but for those new people that are coming, the youth. We'll put that up. And I believe this church will grow for as long as we are faithful to the calling that God has given to us. So Pastor Andrew had already experience from no building, and you see his buildings, the church building that they were able to build, big ones, and three buildings, is it? Yeah. There are three buildings there. If he did it there, in his mind, in his heart, probably we can do it here. So that's why he's very positive with that, because it happened with his ministry there. So he left them. Somebody is now pastoring the church, his son. And he's happy that, there is a building for them. He is 78, 79. How old is he now? 79. So he only have 20 years to go. Anyway, thank the Lord. I'm going to continue my preaching about the beauty of contentment. Okay. So let's pray, Lord, bless your word today as we listen to it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want, come here. Oh, somebody will read it. Okay, I forgot the tradition. Can I call on? Can I call? Who? Ethan and? Sam. Come on, guys. Sorry, guys. Your Lolo is old.
I'm starting. Okay. Hello, everybody. It's quite a busy morning. I will be reading Matthew 16, verse 26. I can't hold it.
Dahil ano ba ang mapapaala ang isang tao? Kung makuha man niya ang buong mundo pero mawawala naman sa buhay niya? Siyempre, wala. Wala magbibigay ng tao ang tao kapalit sa buhay niya.
Already?
Already.
Wow.
Hold it.
No, I'm not reading that one.
Got it.
I'm going to be reading Ecclesiastes 1 verses 1 to 3. There's lots of big words in this one. Ito ang mga katuruan ng mga ngaral, ang anak ni David na hari ng Israel. Napakawalang kabuluhan. Lahat ay walang kabuluhan, sabi ng mga ngaral. Nagpapakapagod kang husto sa pagtrabaho sa mundong ito. Ngunit para saan ba ang mga pagpapagod na ito? And then the English translation is this. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, 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 says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun?
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Yeah, it's wonderful. The last time we talked about Paul, okay? But this time we will talk about Solomon. And with Paul, we learned that contentment is not innate in us. It's not a gift from the God. It's not. It's being learned. Paul said that I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. He knew that contentment lies not on what he has, but in whose he is. That's why God put a vacuum in everyone's heart. And that vacuum, not until he fills it, you will never be satisfied in this life. And people find that in the things around them, in experiences, but they will never find it. We'll see that with Solomon. Contentment is a secret of inward peace. I remember two things. First, I worked at the company of Brother Ferdi. You know why? You know the reason why I worked there was because the bus company that I was driving gave me Sunday duties at that time. So I decided I just resign and work for Brother Ferdi. I thought that was God's will. I didn't realize that the priorities is God first, and we've proven that God first. We gave up our jobs at that time, Luisa being an accountant, and we gave up and went to mission, and we proved that God is the first. As long as he says it, we'll do it. And the second is my family. The family, it includes job, the work that we do, because that's how we feed our family. And the third is ministry. At that time, when they already asked me to work on a Sunday, I thought, I inverted it, ministry second, and family third. So I resigned from bus driving and went to Barros for this company. I thought I was still strong enough. On the first day, it was still okay. On the second day, all my bodies are aching because it's still fixing. They built the building and we fixed the still. And I was just, how old was I at that time? 65, probably. But I thought I was strong. After a week, we had to form these steel bars, and I had to sit on the bars. The next day, I was not able to get up. Painful here, painful here, painful everywhere. And that's when I prayed, Lord, what is happening with me? I prioritize your church, and then I realized it was wrong because God, family, that includes work, and then ministry. That's when it's good that the company didn't want me to resign. When I resigned, they said, okay, you'll just take a leave and you come back when you when you think you can come back. So I went back and they were happy. And from then on, they gave me Monday to Friday work. Oh, hallelujah, it's still good. And this time, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it happened again. That's why last Sunday, you remember, I had to leave. I had to leave. But before that, it was really a struggle. I rang a company. I didn't realize that the boss is my friend. Urban, Transurban, the big buses, the tall bus, electric buses that goes to the city. On the, when she knew it's me calling, she said, yeah, you come. And I was happy, but there was no peace in my heart. And then, when I was about the main boss rang me already. But before that, I opened my email and I saw there, all on the company which I was working, all night shifts will get $30, that's $150 a week if you work 5 days, no tax, $30 allowance for night shift. And I struggled. Is that from the Lord? And then I evaluate my priorities, God, family, and then work. And I realize I'm not supposed to resign there. It's not because of the money that I get $30 a day for allowance, but because my third priority is work. It's ministry. And that's why I was happy leaving last Sunday. Not guilty about it, because that's my priority. Last is ministry. So now I'm happy. Contented in my heart, but I had to struggle with that. Contentment is the secret of inward peace. It remembers the truth that we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. For the Christian, contentment knows that if we have Jesus, we have enough. We just have to trust him. That's Paul. Now, we will take a look on this other guy, Solomon. He's not talking about contentment, he's talking about discontentment. The kids had already read some of the text. We'll read the first text. Ready? Oh, no, before that, I just want to review something before we read that. Matthew 16:26. Can you put it there? Yeah, we'll read this first. Ready? Begin. Profits it to man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, that's not talking about going to hell, okay? It's talking about losing your own soul. Our soul is the seat of our emotion. When the rich man and Lazarus died, so their soul went, the rich man's soul went to hell, and Lazarus went into the bosom of Abraham, where heaven is. And they were talking, and one of the things that the rich man was asking is, can you send Lazarus back to earth, because they're not supposed to be here. But Lazarus answered back and said, they have Moses and the prophets, which means that the five books of the Bible is written by Moses, and the prophets are written by the prophets, the Isaiah, whatever, Nahum, Amos, and the others are written by Judges. So he was saying, they have the Old Testament with them. Let them listen to that. But he said, it's too hot here. Can you bring Lazarus and dip his finger with water? It's too hot. So the soul is the seat of our emotion. It is the seat of where we can hear. Our five senses is located there, where we can smell, where we can feel heat, and we can feel something sorry and sad. So the soul is our emotion, where our emotion lies. Now, what does Jesus mean to that? If you gain the whole world, if you become very, very rich, you're like Solomon, and loses your own soul, what is that? You lose your joy, you lose your... It's all you have is worry that your company might something happened, all you've got is anxiety because your people are not working well, or anything that bothers you, what is that? If you lose your joy, you lose your soul. So that was Jesus was saying. Now, let's go to the person we're going to study, Solomon. In 1 Kings 3, 5 to 14, God asked him what he wants, and he asked for discerning heart. He didn't ask for riches, he didn't ask for long life, he didn't ask for victory. But God granted him all of it, even all those things that he didn't ask for. So he had wisdom, he had intelligence, God gave him all of those. And God was pleased because Solomon did not ask personal gain. He granted him unmatched wisdom and also promised wealth, honor, and long life, and he remained obedient at the time. But along the way, his heart got derailed. At the end of his reign as king, he wrote the book Ecclesiastes, but he didn't call himself king. He called himself preacher or teacher. Why? Because as a king, he didn't lead the people in righteousness. As a preacher, he did. Because at the end, we will study later on, that he repented of what he had done. You know what derailed him? How did he get away from righteousness? He trusted God, but he went on his way because of these people. Can you find that? How many wives and how many do you have it there? Do you have it there? Can you find that? Yeah, let's read it. 1 Kings 11:3. Ready? Begin. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. 700. What the heck? What the heck? I can't imagine what happened with him. And these are beautiful women because he's the king. And David made one mistake. He took Bathsheba, but he repented of it. He repented of it. But him, look, 700 wives, how can you do that? Count it. There are only 365 days away a year. So every wife, he can only visit every 2 years. I don't know. And the worst thing is, his wives turned away his heart. Blessed is the man who marries a godly wife. Louisa is not perfect. But I'm not more perfect. I'm more imperfect than her. You marry a godly wife, you're in good hands. They may be nagging. Of course they nag because you make mistakes too. They may be unreasonable. Sometimes when it's there monthly. But if they're godly, you are in good hands. Look at your wife, if you have a wife. Are they? Hopefully. So, what happened with him? This is what happened. Let's start reading. Ecclesiastes 1:1-8. So he called himself preacher, okay? Because he's not a good testimony as a king. He's not like his father David. He was not repentant at all. Ready? Begin. Words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The meaning of vanity is pointless. Ready? Begin. Why did he say that? Let us. Oh, that's mine. Why? That's not the Bible. That's Dad's. So why did he say that? Let's see what are the things he did. and achieved, and he calls pointless. Oh, sorry, guys. Okay, let's see. Next one. Next. Yeah. Ready? Begin. I communed with my heart, saying, "Look, I have attained greatness. I have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in us, wisdom is much grief. And who increase knowledge, increase sorrow." You see how he view it? How he view wisdom? Wisdom is given by God, but he used it for himself. Later on, I will explain to you why. Let's continue. Ready? Oh, no. Oh, yeah, 2. Ecclesiastes 2. Ready? Begin. I made great works. I worked myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruits in them. I made myself water pools from which no water, the growing trees and the grove. He has a paradise. He made it. And remember, that's in Israel, okay? It's not like New Zealand. So, hang on. More. Ready? Begin. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herd and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. At that time, if you have herds and flocks, you're rich, because even they don't have cars at that time. They don't have what we have now. But if you have those flocks and you have people serving you, you are rich. Verse 8, ready, begin. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and the provinces. I acquired male and female singers and the lights in the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. Probably he has a party every night. He has musicians. He has singers. So imagine that you have wine, you have women. I can't imagine what's happening every night with him. Verse 10, let's begin. Ready? Begin. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. Everything he sees, that he likes, he will get it because he's a king. Ready? Begin. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. See? He's rejoicing. He's so proud in what he had done. Ready? Begin. And this was my reward from all my labors. Then I look on all the works of my hand had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Do you know why he said that? Because he did it for himself. He did it for himself. Let's start again. Ready, begin. 17. Next. Ready, begin. Therefore, I hated life. Woo! You have all of those? And you hate life? What is that? Ready, begin again. Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. See, he did it for himself. He did it for himself. If that is my idea of working, then I might not work. I will just stay home and in the sea and keep fishing every day, every hour. But that's not. I work not for myself. I work for somebody else. That's why I'm happy. I'm satisfied. But him, he did it for himself. Now, he did it for his wives. 700, how can you feed them? Every day is a party? What's that? How many calves they have to slaughter every day? I don't know. I can't imagine. What? How did he house them all in one palace? Maybe the palace is like as large as what? I don't know. Can't imagine it. Can't imagine it. See, if you live for yourself, just for yourself, then you will be miserable in this world. Let's read his conclusion later on. Don't worry. He changed. He had changed when he was already, when he thinks that it's already, everything is vanity or is pointless. This is what he said in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Let's see it. This is what he said. Chapter 12. Yeah. Let's read it. Thank you, Ali. You're there. Okay. You have to disciple them well, please. Ready? Begin. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God to bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Keep his commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. Jesus had summarized the Ten Commandments into two, which is love God, love the Lord above all, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So there are three components there. Love your God above all, love your neighbor as yourself or your brother, and love yourself. What he had done was just loving himself. He missed the two. If he didn't miss the two, he would have not had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was not satisfied with 700 wives. He even gets concubines. Poor women. So that's what he missed. But praise God, later on he found out what he missed. That's why everything is vanity if you miss those two, loving God above all and loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, let's get to the next verse, please. Yeah, let's read it so that we will know what I was saying. Ready, begin. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Second, and the second like it, this is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment ever. So loving God, loving your neighbor and yourself. What you don't do to yourself, don't do it to your neighbor, okay? That's what it means. Next, I want to explain this a little bit. Ready, begin. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. What profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So it's speaking about your priority in life. If your priority is just to save your life, save your desire, save everything that you want, save, you lose your soul. You lose your joy, you lose everything, because later on, you lose everything that only God can fill. When you've got everything, life seems pointless. No long-lasting joy, no inner peace. How can you have contentment in that? Matthew 6, 25 to 34, let's read that. So how do we do now? How should we live our life? My suggestion is, this. Live a simple life, and mind you, you will have a lasting contentment. What is a simple life? Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body that you will put on, nor than food and body clothing. Wait, let's stop there. Don't worry about what you eat or what you drink, okay? Don't worry about your body. Many women worry about their bodies. That's why they spend a lot of time figuring out how to make their body better. I worry also sometimes with my looks, but I have to give that up because wrinkles are coming out, all of these wrinkles. I have to give that up. Let's be honest. This morning we were looking at our tummy with Louisa. She said, "Oh, look at our tummy." I said, "We are old. We cannot avoid it unless we don't eat. We'll just have to eat the right food, that's all. But if at this age, anything you do, just be satisfied of what the result is. It's nothing wrong doing makeup, okay? Nothing wrong with that. But if you feel like it's still unsatisfied after your makeup, there's something wrong. Yeah. You should be satisfied in whatever you have now and be content with it. There's nothing more we can do. That's it. God gave you that. Thank God. At least you're alive. You're living in New Zealand where people doesn't care about your looks. See, here in the Philippines, that's why we care too much about what car we drive. If you have a car, what motorcycle, what house, where do you live? But here, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what job you do, you have sense of respect. What do you call it? There is a may karangalan sa anumang trabaho dito, kahit basurero ka pa. Oh, there is dignity of work, of labor here, even if you are the
bus driver.
If you are a bus driver and you're a lawyer, you're the same. You can go to the mall, the lawyers can go, and I can go to whatever they can go. The only difference probably, they drive an expensive car. I can also drive an expensive car, I'll just take a loan. But I won't do it. Why do I have fooled myself with that? Verse 26, ready, begin. Look at the birds of the air. They sorrow. Nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them, and you're not more valued than them. You see, the problem is when you are very choosy that we want this expensive food, and the expensive food are the killer food. Do you know that? More fats, more sugar, more. Live a simple life. I like the style of Kerry Park. They don't cook vegetables. They make you like goat. they don't put anything on the grass. They just put there on the table, nothing, and they have this whatever on the side. And you eat it. If you want to put the sauce, you put it. But they just put it there. When I look, when they eat it, oh, they're like goats, really. But that's our healthy food. They're simple life. But if you have that, oh, you'll be happy living in New Zealand. 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit of this stature? Hallelujah. Nice life, simple life. There is this saying in the Bisaya. Simple living. You know what simple living means in Bisaya? The children, they just They just go around with no shoes, with no... Oh, never mind. Okay. Verse 28, let's read it. Ready, begin. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Clothing. Ready, begin. And his glory was not arrayed like one of them. The beauty of man. You don't have to add anything. A man is beautiful in the sight of God. 30, ready, begin. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Why do you focus on the material things in this world, you of little faith? Let's begin. Ready, begin. So, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, the unbelievers. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient is the day for its own trouble. But seek first the kingdom of God. Priority is God. Your family and your ministry. That's what's in the kingdom of God. There are three things you can find in the kingdom of God. What that song? Righteousness, peace, joy. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Hey. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why if you find a person who is so joyful because he is in the kingdom of God and enjoying what the kingdom... I like this... I will quote this, I don't know who wrote it. Contentment is a state of inner satisfaction and peace achieved by appreciating what you have, simplifying your life, and cultivating gratitude and mindfulness. For those with a spiritual perspective, contentment is a discipline and virtue that deepens trust in God's provision and encourages living within your what means. Living a life of contentment is an intentional practice. You intend it. You live it. It combines mindfulness, gratitude, simplicity, realistic goal setting, and spiritual or personal reflection. By focusing on what truly matters, which is the heavenly things, and appreciating the present, which is what you have now, you can cultivate long-lasting satisfaction, resilience, and peace in your daily life. I will end with this. Can you put that end, that part, the end? Yeah, let's read, everyone. Contentment is a mental state and self-satisfaction with one what one's possesses. If you are a believer, you've got heaven. The creator of heaven and earth is your dad, who never will leave you nor forsake you, and he is a father that never lies. Hopefully you're satisfied with that. Just trust him. Life is at its best if you know that in your heart. Let's pray. God bless all, everyone that are here today. May this message, Lord, this deep sink into everyone's heart. Thank you for being our Father who promised good life, God, to those who trust you, even in the midst of problems and even illnesses, Lord God. Thank you for this day. Bless everyone that are here today as we fellowship together. We bless you for the things you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.